Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. Sing a song, spread some cheer. There are sad and lonely people everywhere. Be a friend, show some love. It will lift them from the dungeons of despair. Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness. Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face. Sing a little bit when the days are dreary. Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Be a light.
Show the way.
The
light within the night for those who stray. Speak a word. Loving word,
loving word
that will bring them back to walk the narrow way.
Show a little bit of love and kindness. Never go along with hatred's blindness.
Take a little time to reach for joy and wear a happy face.
Sing a little bit when the days are dreary.
Give a little help to a friend that's weary. That's the way to make the world a happy place. That's the way to make the world a happy place. That's the way to make the world a happy place.
Get all of our kids down here this morning. Any other? We got any visitor kids this morning? A lot of our kids are gone out of town. Good morning. So did anything exciting happen last week? What? Christmas? So, you got a frozen bike. I didn't know it was that cold. I'm teasing you. Frozen like Olaf and all those frozen people? Okay. So what else did you get? You got a tent? Well, that's cool. You got what? Splatoon. That sounds like is that a game? That sounds. It's what?
Splatoon.
It's Splatoon. Splatoon. Okay, it's a game though. You have that too? Well, that must be a good game then for everybody to want to have it. That'd be good. All right. Well, I'm so glad you got that. So everybody's happy now? You had a good Christmas? Some of our friends are gone this morning. So what comes up after Christmas?
New Year's.
That's right. And I have this thing right here that I always have to look at when it gets to be New Year's time. What is this? That's a calendar. And what does it say right there?
New Year.
January 2016.
2016. That's not here yet, is it? But it's going to come, isn't it? And what do we think about things? Jacqueline, you're old enough to kind of maybe know this. What do we think about when we think about a new year? Why do people like New Year's? The clock goes over. Yeah, we kind of get a fresh start. And people kind of, you know, they think about a new beginning. How many of you have ever tried to write something or you drew something and you looked at it and you didn't like it and you just said, I just want to start over? Yeah, everybody does that, doesn't they? We try to think of things to write. I'm that way with sermons sometimes. I have a lot of wads of paper like that with sermons. You know, bad sermons. So we need a new start and a new beginning. Well, the exciting thing is, as we think about New Year's, is to think about this passage of Scripture that we have in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." And so as we think about having a new year, I think almost every one of you have made a profession of faith and you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. I've got to baptize some of you. And so you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart. That's a really good decision to make. And when that happens, all that old stuff, the sins we committed and all that goes away because God covers that up with the blood of Jesus. And then we have a new life and a fresh start and a new beginning. And that's kind of how we look at the calendar with the new year. We just, you know, even though it's just like time just keeps right on going and we go from this day to that day, things really don't change a lot. But in our mind, they change. And when things change in our mind and our heart, then that changes how we see everything, doesn't it? And so we get a fresh beginning and a new start. And so we're so glad that you're here and part of our church family. And some of you are visitors to be with us today. We're excited about that. And so we want you to go back with mom and dad now. We're gonna worship together the Lord, and we're going to enjoy our new life in Jesus Christ and the new start that's coming up when we get a new calendar year at the end of this week, okay? Thanks for coming and being with us this morning. We love you all very much.
Well, good morning. It is so great to see all of you. Hopefully most of you are dry this morning. At least inside we are. How many of you had at least one Christmas this past week? Anybody have two or three? We had four at my house. We had my parents and then cousins and then our family and then another set of grandparents. So we are Christmased out at my house. And speaking of that, how many of you have enjoyed these decorations this month? Well, there is a lot that goes into putting those decorations up every year. And in turn, there is a lot that takes place in bringing those decorations down. For any of you that are available and willing, this coming Saturday, January the 1st, at 6 p.m., these decorations will come down. Or Friday? Excuse me. What, January 1st is Friday. All right. Any of you that are willing and able at 6 p.m. that night, Paula would love for some help in taking those decorations down. Today, directly following service, we will have our monthly dogs luncheon. Those of you that are guests are invited to stay for lunch. We have dismissed services this evening for those that are still in the midst of celebrating Christmas. That way you can still spend time with family and friends. Throughout this summer and the winter, we have each month focused on a different school building to lift up in prayer. This month we have focused on our Inman and High Point schools. So we've got 1 week left to lift them up in prayer. And then going into next month, we'll focus on the Century school building as far as lifting those up. So hopefully you all have had a great week and a good Christmas. New Year's is right around the corner. And as Pastor mentioned just a few minutes ago, is a new start. And we look forward to a new church year, a new start, and we're looking forward to the different outreaches and what 2016 has to offer for the church.
Amen. Our ushers will come and receive our morning tithes and offerings. Pastor Don and his family are away with their family, as are many of our folks, and we've had visitors to come in. We welcome you, and so glad you're here with us this morning. We just want to honor God as he has blessed us, indeed. And Brother Pat, why don't you come here just a second? I'm going to let you pray over this offering. I'm going to let you receive my tithe this morning. But I think these folks would appreciate a good report you have to share with them.
I bet they would. I haven't talked with Pastor Gary specifically, but I would say we're in the best financial shape the church has maybe ever been in, and that's thanks to your faithfulness as a church body. And I, you know, coming from Pastor Gary and the church, from you, thank you for your faithfulness to God. And as we pray this morning, Lord, as we pray this morning to our Heavenly Father, we just give a huge thanks to God for his faithfulness and your faithfulness to him. Because without you, what this does, it allows us to go further in ministry. It allows us to fund ministries and outreach that we did last summer. It's going to allow us to do that and more even. So, again, just thank you from the bottom of our hearts, from the church, and may this money that you give so generously be used for the outreach to further His kingdom. So let's go to prayer this morning. Our Father, this morning we do thank You and praise You for Your people and for their faithfulness to You. And we just pray, Lord, as we begin this new year, as Pastor Gary talked about with the kids, that we can look back at Your blessings from 2015 and think of how You have touched us and blessed us as families and church and as individuals, and just think, Lord, what a great 2016 we have to look forward to. We just praise You, Lord, once again this morning for Your presence here with us, and may Your blessings be abundant in the coming year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
To the earth You came, born into this world to save. God with us, Emmanuel, now we adore Your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Shelter like no other, Your name. Let the nation sing it louder, for nothing has the power to save but Your name. Jesus, in Your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for You and glorify Your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your It's a shelter like no other, Your name. Let the nation sing it louder, for nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower, Your name. It's a shelter like no other, Your name. Let the nation sing it louder, for nothing has the power to save but Your name. God with us, Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel. Now we adore Your name.
In times like these, You need a Savior. In times like these, You need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible.
in times like these. Oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Darkness seems to hide its face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other is sinking sand.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, stormed by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Jesus.
powerful and precious words. God is so good. Provides everything we need. And if coming through a Christmas season and enjoying the blessings that we have, if we don't know that now, I'm not sure we'll ever figure it out. But God has been good to us, so many of us in so many ways. And yet, you know, the enemy is never, never far behind. Always trying to stick his finger into things, always trying to discourage and defeat and distract and depress and all kinds of things. But when we think about who God is, what he's provided for us, how much he loves us, we are encouraged and we are strengthened and we are reminded that there is always hope. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, there are many, many things that have come to our attention, things that that we want to praise God for and things that we want to indeed lay down before him as burdens. I was just glancing. I find a lot of things on Facebook that tell me lots of things I don't know otherwise, and sometimes about our own people. But one of the things that I noticed this morning as I ran a quick glance through whatever the news feed was for today was that the Ovilla Road Church of the Nazarene in Red Oak, Texas. Now, the reason that threw a flag for me is the first district superintendent I ever served under was Dr. James C. Hester. And he was from Texas. And he was a Texan through and through. When he retired, they went back to Texas, and he and his wife Evelyn, now they since deceased, but that's where they lived, was Red Oak, Texas. So when I saw that, it caught my eye. But the Ovilla Church of the Nazarene in Red Oak, Texas, lost their church, their parsonage, and their van to a tornado last night. And so we want to remember those folks. I've been here 30 years. I can't imagine what it would be like to awaken and look out my door, look across the field, and not see my church building standing here. Or to wake up to the noise of my home being destroyed around me. And so I know that there's been a lot of that that goes on and year after year. But somehow that just struck me here on this weekend. I've just coming out of the Christmas holiday and the challenges that that are indeed there. And I'm sure that the emotion of the weekend probably played in. Our son Nathan was supposed to fly yesterday back to California, and all the flights were canceled. And he is still, as we speak, he's still 40 minutes away from hoping to get on a plane and go to Chicago and then on to San Jose. So you pray that that plane is able to take off and he's able to get back and do the things that he needs to do. And I know that Sue was still waiting to hear from Kurt to make sure that he had landed in Los Angeles and was there. You got that call? Okay, good. So Kurt is home and safe, and we appreciate that. And then I woke up to a text. And that's why I was late getting here this morning, that my brother, I spent the morning at the hospital. So you pray for my brother, Eddie. He's doing okay. He's got a little pneumonia in one lung. My brother's handicapped, and so he can't communicate and tell them stuff sometimes that they need to know. And so we'll go back up this afternoon. They're going to keep him for 24 hours, but everything is okay. And so it's just been kind of an emotional morning for us. And you know how I am anyway. I'm kind of an old ball baby. So these things kind of get on me. But I know you've had lots of things going on with some of your families are traveling, returning home. Things are going on. We're so thankful for every visitor that's here this morning. It just thrills my heart. I know how much I love my family. It thrills my heart to see you with yours and for them to take the time to come and worship with us today. And matter of fact, Brandon, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I don't want you to have too much vacation. It's not good for you. So come and join me on the platform. Brother Brandon Melton, I pastored our One Life Church in Springfield for several years. I pastored Sarcoxy, was on this district, has moved to the Wild West in Oregon, and doing a great work there, great job. But in case you don't remember, he started here you know. And there was a few years before that. His daddy's a Baptist preacher. But Brandon kind of got back to the Lord and found him a girlfriend and now a wife right here in this church. And taught Sunday school and took a call to ministry. And the Lord's blessed him. We're proud of him. I'm going to ask him to lead us in our pastoral prayer in just a moment. Because I know he's got a pastor's heart, and I know he's thinking about what's going on back in Oregon this morning. So we'll just give him a little bit of job so he'll feel at home. But we want to continue to pray for folks. Mary Willard, this is a praise. Mary's sister, you know, is dying of cancer. And she just wasn't, no? Sister has cancer. Has cancer, but she wasn't seeing anybody. She's having a hard time dealing with all this. And Mary thought, well, I'm going to try to reach out to her one more time. And she told them they could come and see her. So that's a big deal. And we thank the Lord for that. So we want to remember them in our prayers this morning. And then Brother Greg, one of our new families, Greg and Sue. Greg's had rotator cuff surgery. So he's recovering. Matter of fact, he's recovered so well, he brought me a plate of cookies the other day. And he's just across the street from me now. And so we're glad that they're here in our community. And they have just kind of decided they might like to hang with us a little bit. So we're so excited about that, and we're going to talk about that more later as we get into the new year and those kind of things. Good to have Dana and Emily, and where's Lyle? There he is. Lyle's home from college. He goes to Nazarene Bible College in Colorado Springs, and Emily's in from college, and she's up at Northwest. And so pray for these kids that go to college. They got to go back to college here before long, try to get an education. And Dana's part of the closing of CPO, so she's going to be looking for a job. You start a new job Monday? Well, thank the Lord. We'll give praise for that then. All right. Well, great. That's fair. I hadn't heard that. So I was going to be sad and pray for you get a job, you know. All right. So we rejoice. We have lots to thank the Lord for this morning and to give Him praise. Leanne stopped by. Her daughter, Laura, and her husband are both sick. She's taking care of grandbabies this morning. Their basement, they've got water coming down their chimney into the second floor in their house. They're kind of watching that. And her son, who is out on a mission trip, is battling a real bad bout with depression. I mean, the enemy just never gives up. Even when you're in the midst of the Lord's work, you know, sometimes he's out there trying to put it on you. And this is a young man. I mean, a really young man. But he's out there trying to serve the Lord. And so you pray for Leanne's family today and bless that God will bless them. And we just got a whole list of things in the bulletin of Marie, James and Marie. Marie's sick this morning, and we want to be praying for them. I know there are others that have been battling all this sinus stuff and drainages and various things that are going on. But God is good. These altars are open to you this morning. If you need a place to lay burdens down, or you want to join in lifting up some praise, these altars are open to you. We're going to sing a chorus together. And if you have need of these altars, you come. And then Brandon's going to pray for us this morning. Take us to the throne room of God. We love you, brother.
Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh,
Father, we come before you today, and Lord, as we reflect upon these many prayer requests that have been mentioned today, Father, we can't help but have heavy hearts for those that are experiencing significant need today. For those that are battling physical illness, Father, we pray that you would just touch them, Lord. We still believe that you are a healing God, that you have the power to touch in ways that are beyond our understanding. But Father, we also believe that you can use the doctors and the medicine and the technology, Father, to bring healing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just use all means necessary, Father, to bring healing upon those that are battling sickness and illness today. Father, we pray for this church family in Texas that Brother Gary was sharing about today, and just the stress that they're experiencing this morning, of the loss that they've experienced in their physical building. We pray, Father God, that you would use this as an opportunity, Father, to bind this church family together, to bring unity, Father, to help maybe even the community to rally around them, Father God, in such a way that bring glory and honor to you, that would build your kingdom today. Father, I pray today for the Church of Christ all around the world today. Gathering right now, Father, many of them are worshiping and singing praises to your name. And Father, outside those churches is a world that is hurting. It's broken. It's filled with darkness and pain. And Father, they need the hope that we're singing about today. So, Father, I pray for your church, for your bride, Father God, that you would fill it with your Spirit, that you'd cause it to arise and to awaken, to be the movement of Christ that you have called it to be. And that, Father, that in 2016, Father, we see a great move of revival in the church, Father, that would spread across our country, Father, around our world, that would help people to know of your redeeming love that brings hope, that brings restoration, that brings healing to not only hearts, but families. To communities, Lord God. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, I pray that it would begin today, Father, here in Nixa, Father, that you would just wake up our hearts, Father, as you prepare to speak to us through Brother Gary today. We pray, Father, open our hearts, our minds, our ears to what you desire to say to us today. We ask it all today in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello. I am a little raspy, but I'm going to try to sing this song. Just try to listen past my voice to the meaning behind the song.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe a child in a manger? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Bringing our gifts for the newborn Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Gold for his honor and frankincense for his pleasure and myrrh for the cross. Suffer, do you believe? Is this who we've waited for? 'Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only Cause how many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that has torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Only one did that for me. Oh, for me.
Haven't you enjoyed this worship this morning? It's been very good. Very good. It's always good. But it's been special this morning. And the office has been on vacation. Janet put the music together, and I hadn't even seen it yet. I love the music this morning, Janet. It's wonderful. And thank you so much, Rhonda. We've kind of struggled once in a while, gone through a service without a special song, you know. Thank you so much for singing this morning. Glad you could do that while your family was here. Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, we praise the Lord for that. We're thankful for His goodness and mercy to us. It's a wonderful time of the year. And matter of fact, it's been several years since I've even been in this pulpit on this Sunday, because I'm normally on vacation. But the way it all fell this year, we rearranged things a little bit. Pastor Don is with his family out in Kansas, and I am here with you this morning. And so, great to be with you. We know we have a lot of folks that are traveling. They're in various places with their families and friends, are headed back to home. And we're glad that you are with us this morning. What a privilege to be in God's house this special time of the year, a special season. Last couple of days have been a little challenging weather-wise and kind of dampened your spirits a little bit. Dampened something anyway. And but indeed, you know, the rain replenishes the earth. God knows what's going on. That's the big consolation for me when I see these storms come up. I don't understand all that. But I know God's in control. And God is sovereign. And I know He's got a plan. And He's got a purpose. And I know that no matter what evil would come or what challenges through the laws of nature would happen, that God has a way to teach us and to help us as we encounter challenging situations. I want to speak to you this morning from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. I want to talk to you this morning about pressing on. Pressing on. Sometimes we just get overwhelmed with things. Sometimes we can have such a challenging year that we kind of can get to thinking, and the devil will help us, but we kind of get to thinking, God has forgotten us. God's not remembered our address. God maybe doesn't remember that we're a part of the planet, you know, and we get to thinking that that He's so busy with other things that He's passed by. Not true. God doesn't forget anything except what He chooses to. You have to remember, you know, we read that passage of Scripture about God forgetting or not remembering, you know, remembering our sins no more. The word forget, we automatically tend to think of as I can't think of that. If I forget something, I can't think of it. That's not what it means in the Greek. It's not what it means when it talks about God forgetting our sins. That is a knowledgeable, willful, loving decision on God's part not to hold against us those things that we have done against Him and His will. So that's just a great start in itself. You know, when we think about the fact that God loves us, and wants to have a relationship with us, and that he's willing to put all that aside. Has anybody here ever been hurt by anybody? Anybody here ever been mad at anybody? Frustrated, and you kind of have trouble letting go of some of those things? How many of you think God might have a reason to hold something against us? But you know, he chooses not to. Not only does he choose not to, but then he sent his son Jesus. That's what this whole Christmas thing's all about, you know. God was looking past the manger. Looked past the cross. Because where God was going, when God kind of skipped Jesus through our history, he was headed for the empty tomb. He was headed for the resurrection. He was creating an answer, a solution to our problem. And he did a good job. And we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. Well, let's read together. You've had time to maybe get there by now. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Twice in that passage, it tells us to press on. You think God is aware of our flaws, our tendencies to be quitters, to give up ahead of time, to maybe not stay with things? You know, how many times do you think God maybe has been disappointed, and maybe he just knew we were just about ready to break through, climb over, and we gave up? And God sees and knows it all. So he just knew we were so close to victory. And he knew he was going to help us. But we quit. We gave up. We stopped. How many of you have ever had kids? We had our 11-month-old grandson at the house this week, and he's crawling really well, pulling up to things, but he hadn't quite decided he can walk yet. And so you stand him up, and he immediately decides sitting down is better. Now, he likes to, you know, if he can pull up to say, he'll pull up to everything. He'll pull himself up, and he might slide along the side of something. But you get him out there on his own where he's kind of seeing where things at. He's just now kind of getting to the point where if you hold his hands, he wants to kind of take off and go walking across the living room. But if you're not there, you know, if you stand him up and kind of try to, he's going down immediately. And you know how we are? We find somebody he knows, and we put him about 3 or 4 steps away from him. And then we do that thing we do, you know. Come here, come here, come here. I wonder how many times the Father, big, strong arms and hands, was saying, come here. And we couldn't see him. Somehow we lost sight of that. And we let all the stuff overwhelm us. We let all the stuff get the best of us. And like old Peter, when he was walking on the water, Jesus did that. Jesus said to Peter, come to me. Peter, just like a little baby, he just jumped out on that water and walked right out there to him until he got to look at the water. And then the waves got so loud he couldn't hear, come to me anymore. Plop, down he went. The only thing that saved him was what? He looked to Jesus again. See, you got to keep your eyes focused in the right place. And as I thought about what God would have me to share with you this morning, as I prayed over this message, I thought about, okay, it's the end of the Christmas season. Do I do a Christmassy kind of thing? Or it's the new year, and do I get to talk about the hope of a new year and a fresh start and all those kind of things I kind of tried to talk to the kids about a little bit? And God kind of kept talking to me about that look back. And this passage of Scripture came to my mind, and there are three statements in here that really kind of give us a good direction to face every day and to give us a look into the future and a hope of all that God has for us. And so I just kind of want to remind you of these three phrases this morning. The first one is this: forget what is behind. Forget what is behind. How many of you remember the story about Lot and his wife? And what did God say to them? He said, don't look back. Now, we understand the context of that. The reason that he didn't want them to look back was because he didn't want them to reconnect to that which had been bad for them. He wanted to get them out of that. And every one of us, you know, there can be some positive things to the past. We can learn from the past. And so when we think about that statement this morning, forgetting what is behind, let's think of that in a sense of kind of some information gathering. And then I just want to remind you of a couple of passages of Scripture. One is found in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 40, and it reads like this: let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And so part of life, part of the hope of the future is examination. Well, we haven't been to the future yet, so you can't examine the future. So what's he saying to us here? He's got to be talking about examining our past. Now, he's encouraged it. God has spoken to us, and he says, I want you to take a look at things. And so part of that idea of examination, as we look back over the past year, is to say, what progress have I made? Where have I progressed? Where have I grown? Where have I matured? Or to honestly look in the mirror and say, there's some areas of regression in my life. I've really not advanced here. When we look at our handling of the Word, when we look at our relationship, our communication in prayer, when we look at our service and our involvement in the work of God, either through His church or in the community, when we think about sharing our faith, have we progressed or have we regressed? You know, and we as a church, we can look back over the last year and we can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We did some outreach. We did some things we'd never done before, and we received some new people into our congregation. But we can also look even further back to last January when we challenged ourselves with one for one in one, which is one person winning one soul in 1 year. Everyone win. We're going to double. We haven't doubled. And there's a lot of us, and this is not intended to be a guilt thing, but let's face it, there's a lot of us that did not win one. Some of us didn't even talk to one. And so we can look at that and we can just be honest with ourselves and say, you know what, I didn't get it done. And that doesn't mean that we have to beat ourselves up and say we failed totally, and because we didn't. The things that we attempted, the communication that was made, those that were reached out to, all of that is progressive. So there are steps, there are advancements that are made, and God is happy with that. He's pleased with that. And what he says to us about the things that we didn't get accomplished is, there's a new year. You can still do that. You can still make that happen. You can still accomplish that. With my help, I'll be a part of that. And so that evaluation process is there. But, you know, let's face it. Sometimes when we try to examine ourselves, one of two things happens. We either look and we're extremely critical or extremely hard, and we don't really see ourselves normally or naturally. We don't want other people to belittle us, but we belittle ourselves a lot. God's not asking for that either. Or we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So it helps sometimes to have someone besides just ourselves to be a part of that examination process. And I remind you of a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10 that says this: I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Now, we know that God is perfect. And so having someone like that who will look at us and neither over-evaluate or under-evaluate us, but somebody who will just give us a fair evaluation, that's a good help to have, isn't it? And so when we go through the examination process, we need to say, now, Lord, here's what I think. Lord, here's what I see. Lord, here's what I feel. But, Lord, I want to submit all of that to your umbrella. And what do you see about me? And the reason he says forget the past is not that we shouldn't take it and learn from it, not that we shouldn't take it and gain from it, but I think the reason he says forget the past is because sometimes we can look at past successes and we can overestimate them, and we get comfortable and we can rest on our laurels. And so we cease to put forth the effort to do new things. I think that's a negative. I think God would have us not rest on our laurels. I think God wants us to know that he's pleased with what's been accomplished, and he's happy about that and excited. But he wants us, as long as we're here, to continue to do what he's given us the ability and the talent to do. Because there's always more to be done. Not in the sense, you know how it was when you were a kid and you used to bring your grade card home, and your parents would say, let's see your grade card. And you say, well, look here, I got a B plus in math. Well, if you just apply yourself a little more, you could get an A. And the truth of the matter is, that's not always true. Some kids get a B plus and that's all they got. And it's okay. See, that's the really cool thing about God, is he wants to motivate us to be the best we can be, but he doesn't want to berate us and belittle us into a performance mentality that says you're never, ever going to be good enough. And that's what a lot of kids hear sometimes when we're saying, well, you can do better than that. And we all want our kids to do the best they can. We all want to motivate our kids, you know. But we have to be careful sometimes as to how they're responding to those things so that they don't get a wrong message. And that's the really cool thing about God, is God does not send wrong messages. I have a district superintendent right now who I really appreciate, because he gets on you. I mean, he's a soul winner. And if you're not winning souls, he'll just flat tell you, hey, your job here is to depopulate hell. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing what the Lord called you to do. You need to get with it. But then in that same breath, he'll turn right around and say, and I'm going to help you get it done. So it's not like you're not doing what you ought to do and you're a bad person. It's, why aren't you accomplishing what God believe God wants you to accomplish, like he wants everybody to accomplish? And how can I help you get that done? Here's a book. Read this book. Or here, come to this. We're going to have this gathering, and we're going to teach you some things. I mean, he's resourcing you all the time. And he'll call you. He'll drive across Springfield. He'll call me and say, I was just driving past Springfield, so I just want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. You can't lose on a deal like that. And that's how God is. God holds us accountable, but he's saying, hey, I'm God. You know, just listen to me and I'll work with you. We'll get this done. Always positive, always encouraging, but don't rest on your laurels. But the other side of the coin is, he doesn't want us to be crippled by past failure. The reason he says forget the past is because the past is history. We can't change the past. So God wants us to live in the present with the hope of the future. He wants us to see beyond. There's an old ancient Chinese philosopher that says, when I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. When I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. Sometimes we need to let go of the past so we can move ahead, so we can move into the future, so that we can indeed be changed, so that we can become all that God desires for us to be. Forget what is behind so that you won't rest on past successes and be crippled by past failures. God can deal with both and help you to be the best you can be. You know, the army is always trying to convince you need to hook up with them. Be all you can be. Join the army. Well, the truth of the matter is, they're going to fall short. The only person, the only entity who can help you be all that you can be is God. And He wants to do that. He wants you to reach your full potential. He wants you to become mature, just as He said in this passage of Scripture. So forget what is behind. Don't rest on your victories. Don't be crippled by your failures. Only person who has always missed is a person who's never shot. That's the worst thing that can happen, is for you to never fire a shot. Make an attempt, which is why he said the second thing. Forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Put forth some intentional effort. Equip yourself with the kinds of things. There are three types of people in the world. Did you know that? So which type of person are you? Here, you're one of these three types. Those who make things happen. Those who watch things happen. Or those who just wonder what happened. You're one of those three categories. So what kind of person are you? Are you a person of a determined spirit? Are you a person who is proactive? Are you a person who's going to take the bull by the horns and do something? There's things that will help us to do that. The fact of the matter is, we have the will of God right here. How many times have we said to ourselves, well, I'd do the will of God if I knew what it was? Read the book. That's kind of like saying, I'd put this thing together if I knew how, but I won't read the instructions. How many of you have ever put anything together and had extra nuts and bolts? Now, occasionally, those manufacturers throw extras in there just, I think, to antagonize you. Usually, they leave one short somewhere. But occasionally, they just get all the right stuff in there, and you just have stuff left over. And the reason is because you tried to put something together and do it without reading the instructions. The will of God's right here. When you begin to follow what's in print here for everybody, then God will begin to speak to you about your individual life. But God can't give you individual direction when you don't follow general information. Sorry, I'm just telling you how it is. We need to know the Word of God. Let me remind you of a passage of Scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, beginning at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. I will not neglect your word. How can we know the will of God if we don't read the word? We're reminded then in James chapter 1 Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceives yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The way that we can successfully move ahead is by knowing God's will from his word and then by doing God's will. There's a lot of us who know, but we're not doing what we know. There's a lot of folks who know what to do, they're just not doing it. Listen to what the scripture says. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Only he who does the will of the Father. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, we read these words. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. How many times have we got disgruntled about trying to attempt something just because we were thinking about how, what people would not appreciate it, how they might not recognize it, how they might not remember it? But the Bible tells us to serve as if serving the Lord, not serving men. If we can find that motivation in our life, it will help us a great deal. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. When we're truly saved and focused on the Savior, we want to make him happy. We want to please him. We want to do his will. And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 says to us, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Strain toward what is ahead. Familiarize yourself with the word of God because it tells us what the will of God is. And then when you know the will of God, do the will of God. Nike has made millions of dollars off a phrase, just do it. But they didn't originate that phrase. That phrase came right out of the scriptures. Do it. Don't be just hearers. Do it. When you know the will of God, do it. Be a person who makes things happen, not a person who watches them happen. Be a participant in the work of the Lord, not just a spectator. Forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. But finally, press on toward the goal. Words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude toward life. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to what happens to us. I believe the single most significant decision that I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitude is right, there's no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me. Those are the words of Chuck Swindoll from his book, Strengthening Your Grip. Attitude is everything. Press on. The idea of persistence or perseverance. The scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, well, I thought it did. Begin at verse 5 and read through verse 7. In those days it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. It's 2 Chronicles 15:7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. And then I participated in sports most all of my life, and I love this passage of scripture that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And then we're reminded in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We've just passed Christmas, and I don't know that there's anybody who has asked for one of these probably in several years. I'm not sure that the present generation even knows that they exist. But how many of you, either for your birthday or for Christmas, ever got a clown that was about this tall, made out of rubber, plastic, that was inflatable and the bottom was filled with sand? And you would blow that thing up and then you would just beat on it. You'd just wail on that thing. You could wail on that clown all day long. How many of you were ever get that clown to stay down? That old sand in the bottom of that inflatable clown, you punch that clown in the face, he'd fall down. The funny thing was, is when kids are small and they're about the same height as that clown, you know, they rear back and they wail on that thing. It'll lay down all of a sudden, it'll go, whoo! Catch you right between the eyes. But that thing just keeps coming back. It doesn't matter how much punishment you deal out to that old inflatable clown, he just keeps bouncing right back up. See, that's what pressing on means. It doesn't mean we're not going to be knocked down. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be afflicted. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have challenges. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have trouble, but it means that we forget the past failures and we don't rest on the past laurels. And it means that we continue to see what needs to be done and we put forth a proactive effort to do it. And when we press on with that kind of attitude, things are going to get better. Things are going to get accomplished. Calvin Coolidge said, "Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful individuals with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Just keep trying. Stay in the game. Press on. Miraculous things happen often in the final seconds, no matter what's happened before. You have to be careful when you use sports illustrations because somebody's always on the other side. But we could name play after play after play. How many of you have seen those videos of those guys stepping in bounds and launching a basketball 92 feet the length of a court and the crazy thing going in? And they win the game. And we know that that was sheer luck. How many of you remember those NFL games where a pass in the last seconds, the clock's expired, and a pass is tipped up in the air, and there's like nine guys in the end zone? And it just so happens that one of them catch it on the correct, well, it depends on what side you want, on one of the teams and falls into the end zone and scores and wins a victory. Just that would be unexpected. I'm going to get in trouble, Scott. How many of you remember when Alabama had it sewed up again, only to find an Auburn guy in the end zone when it was over and lose a game? The things that we expect, the things that we think are going to be, the things, it's all right, it happened to my Cowboys too, you know, with the catch from Jerry Rice. So I've lived through that as well. I feel your pain. The problem is we need to know that Jesus has felt all of our pain. How many of you have ever been crucified on a cross? Maybe some of you have been estranged from your families. Maybe some of you have had people that were related to you that didn't like you or accept you. Maybe there's a lot of those things that Jesus went through that you indeed went through. How many of you have been crucified on a cross? I think Jesus has gone a little further than we've gone. That's our Savior. And when you look in the grave where they laid him, he's not there. So as we evaluate the past year, let's be honest with ourselves and let's say, I didn't quite cut it here. I can do a better job of reading the Word, or I can have a more effective prayer life, or I got to quit making excuses for being timid or whatever, and I need to go out and win some people to the Lord. I need to share my faith. Knowing that God is saying, yes, I'm for you. Not that he's trying to record how miserably you failed the year before. Because he said, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, press on to the goal. Press on and get a hold of what Jesus died for you for. And he'll be right there with you. The Holy Spirit will be right there with you to help you along the way. Let's stand together this morning. Just bow our heads for a moment. Father, as we quickly approach the end of 2015, and as we look at the year in review, and we just kind of say, Lord, you really helped me here, and that was a really great moment. Lord, thank you for that moment. Lord, here's an area I really don't even want to talk about. I hate for you to even bring that up because, Lord, I just really didn't get it done right there. But, Lord, as we examine ourselves, let us do it through your eyes and with your heart so that we'll get an honest opinion and one that wants to help us do better and to overcome. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but I've overcome the world. So, Lord, help us this morning that as we look at our lives and as we see what's good, that we can rejoice and celebrate with you for the good things that have happened and the growth that's taken place. And Lord, where we failed or fallen short, let us just confess that and know that you're going to help us be better. You're going to help us improve. And next year is going to be different. than this past year. Lord, we need you. We're not here this morning. You didn't want us to come here to be beat up on. You didn't want us to come here to be depressed. You didn't want us to. You wanted us to come to be challenged with the hope of the future. Press on to the goal, which is heavenward. Every one of us, Lord, with your help, can do it. So, Lord, the question is this morning, are we really allowing you place in our life? Lord, are we really listening for your direction? Are we chasing your agenda more than our own? Are we really listening to your voice and following your lead rather than asking you to put blessing upon our plan? Lord, as we press on, as we look at the year, let us rejoice in the victories. Let us learn from the failures. And may we be excited about the challenges of a new path before us. And may we know that we will not walk alone, but that we walk hand in hand with the Spirit. And you indeed will help us to achieve the victory. If you're here this morning and you just need a place to pray, these altars are open to you. If you just need a place to say, Lord, I've been less than I could have been this year. I really didn't seek your help always. I kind of did things on my own and went my own way. Lord, I just need to ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I just want to start off the new year right, and I want to be right in my relationship with you. If there's anybody like that this morning, man, now's the time. This is the place. These altars are open to you. Anyone like that this morning that just needs a place to pray? Remember, God is for you, not against you. He wants you to make it into his heaven. And he'll walk every step of the way alongside you and equip you and empower you if you just yield yourself to him. In just a few moments, we're going to leave, and we invite you. We today is the last Sunday, our dog's dinner, our Sunday for fellowship with birthdays and anniversaries and folks who have come relatively new to the church in the last month or so. And so we're going to depart the sanctuary and join with those who want to stay. We know that many of you have family gatherings going on, and we want to get you to those gatherings. And may you enjoy this blessed season and the fellowship of your family and your friends. And so we want to honor today as we are here. Ben Shelton and Steve Kravitz have birthdays in the month of December. And Mr. and Mrs. John Brownwood had an anniversary this month. So remember those folks. There are some others, but those are the folks that were in church with us this morning that indeed have those. And if there are any of our new folks that are here, we encourage you to stay and be with us if you can. And we'll send you right to the head of the line. We'd like to honor you and thank you for coming and being a part of us. And it'll take us just a few moments to prepare, and we'll be ready to do that. But thank you so much for coming. There is no service this evening that you might have that time with your families. Great to have all of you here today. I wish I could just honor every person all the time. I love you and appreciate you. Great to have folks that have been a part of our lives. Brandon and Dee, always glad to have you home, part of our family. Al and Pat, super to have you all with us this morning. Brother Al, if you would you pray a closing prayer for us this morning?